It can be hard to love yourself in a world that's telling you not to.
Magazine covers say, look a decade younger, lose the five, fix the flab. This is what our average magazine stand looks like. And it's working. We spend more on beauty than on education.
But we are here to say, screw that. You are perfect and it's not up for negotiation.
We're Lauren McCauley and Jenna Free, intuitive eating counselors and body love coaches from thebodylovesociety.com.
This is How to Love Your Body. On this podcast, you will hear about ditching the diet, loving your body, finding your happy, and living a life of freedom.
Hey there, welcome to How to Love Your Body. Today's episode is a really great live coaching session with Mary. We talked all about how our experiences as children have affected our relationship with our bodies and the way we see ourselves and the way we value ourselves and our self-worth. So here we go.
All right. Hello, Mary. Thank you so much for being on with us today.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Of course. So we'd love to hear just a little bit about you first, if you want to share some of your story and what's been going on and, you know, what you need from us. So we're here for you. So just share away.
All right. I was trying to think of like where to start anyway, because like with everybody, it's there's never just like one defining moment with something like this. It's like a bunch of little moments throughout my life. So I would say that I have a really good grasp on intuitive eating. I mean, obviously, like, as you guys talk about, that's what we're born to do. You know, we don't know anything else until other garbage seeps in. So I always dabbled with my food, even at a young age, with vegetarianism and all these different things. I just kind of, I've always had a lot of fun with food and a fascination with it. But my mom, I just remember like the earliest memories are, my mom was always wanting to change her body, always. And as far as I could tell, like that was my mom. She was gorgeous. You know, she didn't need to change anything. She was always really small, but it was like that was never good enough for her. So I remember being young, and when the Atkins diet first came out, she was all about it. So I've never seen so much bacon in the house. It was ridiculous. But, you know, she would go on these little diets, and I would kind of go along with her, not to try to change my body, but I was like her little buddy, and that's just what we did. And then it got to a point in teenage years where I was like, you know, maybe I do need to change something. If my mom looks like that and she's always going on a diet, then maybe there is something wrong with me. Maybe I can't be happy with who I am right now. And I remember there was a couple boyfriends I had, like there was one boyfriend in high school that really liked my best friend. And he would always tell me, why didn't you look like her? Why didn't you try to dress like her and be skinny like her? And and again, that's where I was like, okay, well, I'm not okay how I am right now. So something needs to change. And this goes off and on throughout my life. Like, okay, no, you're an idiot. Like, no, I'm not going to listen to you. That was stupid. I'm just going to do me. And that's kind of how my whole life has been. I let the noise creep in for a little while. You know, and it could be a couple of years, it, you know, could be shorter than that. Beat myself up and never thinking I'm good enough and all that. And then I'm like, no, like, screw that. That's terrible. I'm awesome how I am right now. And it's a yo-yo. It is. But when I'm like, nope, this is how I'm going to be and this is what I want to do, then I feel really good about it. It's the best way I could sum it up is, I'm okay until someone tells me that it's not okay, you know, and I heard, episode 15 of the podcast today, and it was about comparison, so that helped a lot. And I know there's a lot of the comparison for sure, but I also get to a point where I've had comments like directly to me about my body. Mm-hmm. And even after having, I have two kids, I have an 11-year-old boy and an 8-year-old girl. And after I had my son, he was literally 3 days old and I'm holding him in my arms. And a friend of the family came over and I just was talking to my sister about how I didn't realize all these changes were going to happen to my body after having a baby. And everyone's like, oh, you'll bounce back. It'll be great. Everything will be fine. And I mentioned to my sister how many crazy changes were going on with my body. And this lady walks in, she was a friend of the family, and she looks at me and says, and the comment has never left me. She looks at me and says, well, at least you have a pretty face. And it was one of the rudest things I have ever heard in my life. And I went into my room and started crying. So like even the fact that I just grew a human and mm-hmm. delivered a human, like that just, it doesn't matter to some people, you know? And then after that, after having him and I struggled with my weight for a little while because I was heavier than I had been after having him. And, my husband was so great though, because he's like, I love all these curves. I love that you got like extra booty and you've got this and you've got that. So he, it's funny. I didn't think I was going to tear up. But he's so accepting and so loving, and any change that happens with my body, like he's right there. He's like, I love you. I think you're amazing. He goes, I love all the extra parts of you. He goes, it's just adding to what, to how awesome you already are. So I came, you know, after having him, and I feel like I went back into a less restrictive pattern and accepted my body and, you know, just focused on being a mom. I stayed home with him and I babysat a few other kids. And then I had my daughter. There was more focus on weight loss after her because I didn't gain as much when I was pregnant with her. so I didn't feel as out of control as I did after having my son. But it was probably about a couple of years after I had my daughter, I just noticed like I was having fun with food again, and my son was getting chronic headaches and all that. And just naturally and intuitively, I was like, well, let's just take a look at what you're eating. Maybe something's bugging you. Or, and he was having like a lot of juice and probably a little more sugar than he should have. So I was like, let's scale back. Let's, you know, do some water. Let's do this. And it wasn't like diety. It was, I think this is hurting you. So let's try to figure this out. And it worked and he started feeling better. And we learned, you know, I can teach my kids balance all day long, but I have such a hard time with myself. but that led me, and this is nearing the end of my story, but that led me to, I've always been fascinated with, holistic remedies and home remedies and things like that, and just how simple natural things can really help support our body. So I ended up finding a nutrition school online and studied to become a health coach. But in the year that I studied, and I graduated in 2013, we learned so many different dietary theories. It was like 100 different dietary theories, and I played around with all of them. But it didn't feel like I was trying to make my body a certain way. I just played around with them, and yes, my body ended up changing, and I ended up getting smaller. And then it was after classes, like after I graduated, it's like I went into this downward spiral. I didn't have that, I didn't have that like classroom support anymore, and it became less about trying to support my body and helping other people support theirs and just live a full life, and became more about, oh my gosh, I'm gaining weight. how the heck am I going to be a health coach? Who's going to listen to a fat health coach? And I went into this, like, I just went into this depression and I kind of gave up on it. It was my dream. It's always been my dream to help women and just support women with how amazing they are right now and being able to unlock that. But I couldn't dig my way out of the pit because it was what the school I felt like was promoting, you know, and everyone was coming to me with weight loss questions. And finally I got to a point where I was just like, you know, I'm going to put this down for a while because I told my husband, I was like, I don't know what it is because I didn't have the word for it. And I couldn't find as many people on social media as you follow now. I couldn't find as many back in 2013. You know, I didn't even know how to look and start to follow all these body positive people. But I told my husband, I was like, I don't know what exactly it is I'm going to do or how I'm going to help myself or other women, but I really don't want to talk to people about their food. I really don't. Like, I absolutely despise it. Yes. So the past few years has just been, you know, just trying to accept myself now and really work on myself. You know, you are your first client. So I'm trying to really work on myself. I'm always a work in progress. Everybody is. But to really fine tune, like, the body acceptance and me. And I don't want to go, I do not want to feel like I'm going to go back and forth, like, be good for a few years in this upswing. Like, I want longevity in this. And even back in February, I ended up like a dummy doing the whole 30. I only lasted 2 weeks. But I feel like I'm still recovering from that. And this now, that's where I was like, I am done. So I've gotten rid of the scale. But it doesn't, if I swear I can smell a scale. If it's one is like within 10 feet of me or a mile of me or whatever, I'm going to find it and I'm going to step on it. And unfortunately I did that. And I was feeling really good for the past couple of weeks. I've been feeling really good until I stepped on that scale. I'm like, what the heck?
That's what happens.
So that's kind of long-winded, but that's where I was and where I've been and where I want to be.
No, that's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. I think a lot of people probably relate, especially even the health coach thing. Like, I know you started it with good intentions, but like Lauren and I were both health coaches before this because we're like, hey, food is like an issue for us, so let's really focus on it more. That'll solve it. No, it doesn't solve it. Yeah.
Make the obsession even more obsession. Like, it's I just completely need more.
So we definitely get that. So I bet a lot of people listening too have dabbled in like, okay, so I have food issues, so let's become an expert on it. But no, doesn't help. So I'm glad you shared that with us. So I guess we will ask what specific questions you have, but kind of just from what I'm hearing kind of in your story is I would like to know, like, what is left or what is lingering that's kind of keeping you stuck between these two worlds? What is it that keeps you coming back? Because even like you said, like, I'm freaking done. I threw my scale out, but yet I also find a scale and be like, ooh, I should weigh myself. Like, what is it? What's the piece left that's not keeping you strong in at least your path? Like, yeah, maybe you're not there yet. Maybe you're not fully an intuitive eater yet. That's fine. That might be a lot to learn because it's a lot. It can be a journey. But what's the piece that is not letting you fully commit to it so you're not going back and forth? Can you express that, or do you know what that piece might be?
I was even thinking about this like earlier today too, and I do think, especially after hearing the podcast today, I do feel like comparison is part of it. I really like, I like both of the analogies you guys gave. Like Jenna, you had the Freaky Friday, right? Like, try to put yourself in that person, you know, in that person's shoes, or would you give up your entire life just to look a certain way or whatever it is that they want, they have that you want. And then Lauren's analogy with the deserted island was great because I really do. Like, if no one else is around, like, I mean, I would walk around the house naked if I could, you know? I don't know. I think it's not, you know what, and I'm kind of jumping around a little bit because there's so much going on in my brain. But the funny thing is I even compare myself to, I don't compare myself to just like maybe smaller women. I even compare myself to larger women. And because I've always, I've always thought all bodies are beautiful, always. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, well, that person kind of looks like me, but my stomach sticks out more. Or, you know, why can't, if I'm going to have this extra, like, fluff and awesomeness on me, why can't I look like that at least and not look like I'm carrying a baby or something like that? So I think, you know, comparison is part of it. I think maybe even... I'm trying to like put the words to that last piece. I can feel it.
Yeah. Sometimes it's like, it's, you got to explore and give it a minute because it's, if it's just been there all the time, it's hard to sometimes identify it. But, and on that piece, is it like, so comparison, I think a lot of the times we think is like, oh, that's about us. Like I'm comparing. So I'm just judging myself, but really we're comparing because we're worried about what other people think.
Yeah.
So it's like, is others people's opinions and what they think of you like getting in the way? Do you think that's a key piece here?
I think some of it might be, but I don't feel like it's a really huge piece. because there are plenty of times where I just like, you know what, I'm gonna own it and I really feel good. So as long as I feel good, like that's how I walk out into the world and I walk out confidently. So many people have even come up to me and said, like, I never even knew that you had an insecurity issue because you look like one of the most confident people I know. But I think the other thing is, I don't think it's so much other people. I just think it's me needing to fully value myself. Like, I think there are some parts within that aren't fully healed yet, whether it's from childhood trauma or, you know, maybe just little bits of, you know, hurt and things like that along the road of life. I think it really comes down to me fully valuing myself.
You know, the feeling that you were talking about, like you almost like, it's like, I can't even put a word on it. Like, what's the, like the feeling? Do you like, can you talk about when that feeling has come up before? Or, cause I was going to bring up like more, let's kind of dig more into like what happened in the past and where this feeling first came up. So then maybe we can relate it to like why it's so, why you compare so much. So do you remember like this feeling and where you felt it before and why it's so familiar? And
I see a therapist and I've seen her for quite a few years and we're trying to peel back the layers too. I'm trying to kind of go back to one of our conversations. You know, I think the feeling really does feel like not being good enough. So with that, you know, a lot of examples I've had in my life through, you know, childhood and not necessarily, you know, I'm not placing the blame and pointing the finger at my mom or my dad or anything like that. I always look at it as, well, they don't know any better. Just like a lot of society doesn't know any better.
You're exactly right.
Yeah. They're doing the best somehow in the moment that they have, but that's all. Yeah. There's no blaming, but
yeah,
it is what it is.
Seeing my mom always wanting to change her body. And, my dad would always comment on other people's bodies. Like I'm sure he had some insecurities and it was projecting and that's kind of what that was. But, you know, making fat jokes and, I don't know, just commenting on what other people look like. He never commented on me, and what I look like, but it's like, I think a collection of the comments, whether from them or even after having my son mm-hmm. or getting poked in the belly when he's little by a family member saying, oh, when are you having the next one? Mm-hmm. I think there's just an insecurity there of, okay, well, that doesn't, and it, yes, it kind of goes along with approval, but just, I don't know, the tone of it's almost like, oh, well, you look like that, you're not worthy of mm-hmm. whatever. You know, yeah. I think it's that unworthiness, that whatever, that I just maybe let seep in and kind of own that. Yeah. That's kind of what I feel. So I will look at myself in the mirror sometimes the way I see other people looking at me.
Yeah. So you, yeah. So basically all this stuff from, obviously you grow up seeing your mom this way. Your dad also yeah. played a role in this. And then like just throughout your mm-hmm. life, you've just had certain, you know, moments where people would say something. And then Jenna and I do talk a lot about like how much added meaning we put onto that. Yeah. So you do, I think you've already found what the added meaning was
yeah.
you added like, well, if I'm not this, therefore I'm not valuable. Or if somebody yeah. says this to me, therefore I don't have the self-worth. So mm-hmm. I do think that it has a lot to do with the self-worth that you put on yourself yeah. and, doing the work on that. So have you done, what do you do for yourself? How do you, you know, self-care or mm-hmm. value yourself? It's because it is, people could specifically say things to your face mm-hmm. and yes, we get that, but it also comes from like within. So, yeah. you know, sometimes it's like so mm-hmm. annoying. It's like, oh, I get it. It's all within.
Yeah. yeah. But it is true, because just for even for people listening as well as you, Mary, is like if someone comes up and says like, oh yeah, well at least you have a pretty face, like that does, mm-hmm. it does hit home yeah. and it hits home because you already believed that first. Mm-hmm. If someone came up to you and said, you're an elephant, like an actual animal, right. or you're a giraffe, or you're a penguin, you'd be like, no, you crazy.
Uh-huh. No, I'm not.
yeah, but because you believe, you took that on as true before they ever said that,
yeah.
that like stuck the point where you're like, shit, that's what I thought. And they're validating yeah. what I already thought. So if you never mm-hmm. thought that, you'd be like, are you kidding me? No, I'm amazing. Bye.
like, right.
So it really is like, I think for everybody, when someone says something that hurts us, realize it didn't come from them first. It came yeah. from ourselves first. Because yeah, if someone told me like, oh, you have blonde hair, I'd be like, no, I don't. Like, because I know that not to be true. So it's the same as if, oh wow, you have really, I've always remembered my dieting times, like my arms was always my thing I was really self-conscious about. So if someone ever commented on my arms, it made a way bigger impact than commenting on my face or something, because I already believed that to be true. So when anyone is telling us something, we know that we can now go inside and work on, okay, so why did I react so strongly to that? Instead of like, they're mean, they're a jerk. It's like, that doesn't really get us anywhere. So that is, but I think you, like, I can obviously tell speaking to you, you have a lot of self-reflection and you have done a lot of this inner work. But
were you always looking for, like, were you as a kid, can you remember looking for validation from your parents and not getting it? Like, did they give you self-worth and all of that? Like, or was it always about, I know you said your dad never said anything to you, but mm-hmm. were you hoping they would validate you and you didn't get that? So now you're kind of living in a place of like, now you need to feel validated to feel worthy. And when somebody, you do compare, somebody does say something, then it's like, well, there was the validation, and you're never mm-hmm. like getting the positive validation that you've always been looking for. Does that resonate at all?
It does. And actually, you know, and it has nothing to do, when I was little, oddly enough, with my size. It had nothing to do with mm-hmm. that. I'd always been a really small kid. And so as far as not feeling, my parents are divorced. And so as a kid, and they've been divorced since I was little, like I'm 34 now. And I think they were like, or I was like 2 or something like that. I don't ever remember them being together. So I think there was, you know, in kid brain, when you don't understand like why something couldn't be the way you want it to be or whatever, there is some rejection there. Like I did feel like, okay, well, you know, was it me or what? And clearly I know that that is not the case.
Right.
But, and also, you know, living with the time I would spend with my mom, because they had joint custody, the time I would spend with my mom was very different than the time I would spend with my dad. And I feel like when I was a kid, I was always looking like, look at me, love me. Look, I did this. Like, doesn't that make you proud? And they were always really good about telling me that they loved me. But my mom was very much like wanting a confidant and a friend and wasn't really my mom when I needed her to be my mom. And my dad was, you know, would always tell me he loved me and we had a lot of fun together, but it was always like the achievements he would recognize, you know? And, I remember when I got my first quote unquote real job that wasn't like a restaurant or, or being a cashier or something like that. I told him, you know, that I got the job, it was an office job, whatever. And mind you, I was only 17. So I still like, you know, I still had a lot of life to live. And he was like, oh, and I worked as a cashier for like a year. He's like, oh, thank God. I thought you were going to be a cashier for the rest of your life. You know, so it's little things like that. And I was, you know, I had dropped out of school when I was 16 and he was not happy about that at all, obviously. So I think he already predetermined what my future was going to look like. So I feel like for many years, I've always kind of felt like I'm clawing my way to some kind of acceptance or I don't know, some kind of achievement that someone's going to be like, yes, you know, you're amazing. That's great. I notice you. I appreciate you and all that, which is silly because, you know, I clearly know in my conscious mind that you cannot live based on the approval of others. You just absolutely cannot. But I think that's just like a deep seated
And that makes so much sense.
Yeah.
It makes so much sense that it would be transferred over to body and looks and food and weight and all of the above, because people give you validation when you lose weight, or people give you really great comments when they, oh, you look so good, meaning, okay, yeah, I lost some weight. So it's like you are, and that's feeding like your childhood wound, if it's calling it a wound, of like, oh, there's the validation I've been looking for, and that makes me feel good. So it's a lot, it's very easy to be part of this world, and that's why you feel so stuck, because the minute it's like, okay, I'm gonna let it go, this doesn't work, like I have to stop caring about what people think, it's almost like you have to go back into that wound and live like you're not gonna get the validation anymore. And, you know, not that it matters, like who cares, like we could talk about that too, but it, in your body, it does matter. You are looking for the approval and feeling good and wanting other people to like you and love you, and just as every human does, but it's all based on weight and how your body looks and all of that stuff. So it makes complete sense why there's like a stuckness. Because you kind of have to, you do have to let go of the comparison and caring what people think to get to the other side and truly like take on intuitive eating and, you know, not, it doesn't matter what other people say about you. So that's, I think that's a great link that you've shared with us and that we've gotten to. And do you have like specific questions or challenges other than comparison? Like, can we answer a specific challenge that is going on so we can get, yes, we want to go deep. Like, we want to go deep and core and, yes, childhood. And we want to get there, obviously, because that's how you transform. But also, we do know that there is some surface principles or tools that could be so transformational. So is there anything that comes to mind where you're like, yeah, actually I did have a question about this, or this is my challenge. Like, how do I get past this?
Well, I think my main question, and I know you guys have been doing this for a long time. So my main question is just like longevity, like how do I get there and stay there? And I know it's going to be a daily battle. You know, it could be, I mean, I think there's going to be some days and weeks where, and maybe months and years, I don't know, that it's not, but I would love to be at a place where I just don't think about it. Like I get now I kind of get to the point where it's like, if I'm feeling really good in my body and I think I'm listening to my body more than I ever have in my entire life. So I get to this point where I'm starting to feel really good in my body. And then I think it's a really good idea to hop on the scale,
right,
which it's not. Or I think part of the reason, even back in the winter when I ended up joining a friend and doing the Whole 30, I think I was feeling a place, like at a place where I was in control and I felt good and strong. Mm-hmm. But then that just crashed those walls down like immediately. And I had to rebuild. So my main question is, how do I either fight the wanting to step on the scale or sniff one out and find one and just be like long-term, no looking back, this is what I'm, this is what I'm doing. Cause I don't want to bounce around anymore.
Yeah. Sorry. So, I mean, yes, once you're there, you could not pay me $1 million to go on diet. I couldn't physically do it. My body is just like, hey, I'm living my life now, girl. Don't you dare try to control me. Like I'm doing my thing and it's happy and it feels good. So it's like, why would I ever do that? So when you get there, you're there. Like you can't unsee it. You can't undo it. Once you're living it, it's honestly like, yes, the journey to get there, you might be a little back and forth.
Yeah.
But once you're like truly in it, you're free. And that's why we call it like freedom.
Yeah.
Like, this is food and body freedom, because once you're there, you're just living. And that's the whole point of all this work, is never to eat a perfect way. It's never to be balanced. It's never to be looking this way or even physically feeling this way all the time, because nothing's ever going to be perfect. It's to just not have to try anymore. Just live and move on and have food and your weight and your body be kind of in the background. They're still enjoyable. Health can still be important to you, but it's just like something you do, not something you worry about.
Okay.
So yes, it's absolutely is the only thing that can have longevity. No other way of living can, right? So you got that. And then I would say the thing that's keeping you stuck right now, though, is because you're like, well, what is going on? Like, I'm feeling good physically.
Yeah.
Like, why isn't my body like, yeah, this is awesome. Stay here. It's all because of the mindset.
Yeah.
The dieting mindset is still in there, whether you believe it or not. And that's why we kind of do the work we do, is because there's a lot more digging that needs to be done in that head of yours to truly, there's probably a lot you're not seeing. A lot of blind spots where you're like, well, I'm feeling great. Like I'm intuitively eating and I'm not thinking like a dieter anymore. I'm not on diets, but if we talked to you for longer, you'd be like, oh, like these thoughts are coming up and we would see things that you don't see. So, I mean, and in that we always do recommend getting support, whether it would be obviously working with us or working with someone locally or something, because you can't see what you can't see.
Right.
Your dieting mind is like creating blind spots for you. And it's to use that dieting mind to clear those spots is almost impossible, which is totally fine. That's just the way it goes. So keep going. Don't ever stop, because you might find some of those blind spots. Oh, I didn't see that I was hung up on that and stuff like that. But it's absolutely the mindset that is keeping you stuck in the middle. It's amazing how sometimes when we speak to someone, they're like, yeah, well, I'm doing pretty good. Like, I just need a few tweaks. Like, I'm really good with the dieting mindset. And then we actually started our latest group just this week. And they got the first little few videos about the dieting mindset, and they're like, oh my God, I thought it was gone. It's like two days into the 6 months, and they're like, oh, I see what's been blocking me. So there's definitely mindset blocking you, which just means that's what you really want to focus on. It's not about the food. I don't care what you're eating.
Right.
Feeling good physically is great. That's a really awesome goal as well. But I think the key for you to move forward and actually move forward and stay moving forward is going to be like, how do I deal with this dieting mindset? And whether that looks like working with someone or just keep going with listening to podcasts and reading, whatever it looks like for you, that's the number one thing I think you're going to be wanting to focus on moving forward.
Yeah. Okay. And I would also add, I mean, and Jenna was kind of bringing it up, you know, it is part of the diet mindset is like you say, like, I don't know how to, like get to a point where I'm doing okay. I'm doing all this, like I'm out of the diet world, but then like I get sucked into wanting to, weigh myself or something. Mm-hmm. So there is, yes, you may be out of the dieting and more into the intuitive eating and learning all that. But would you agree that there is still in the back of your head, weight loss is on the brain? Like, so I think.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yes. So and
I think that now that you bring that up, because, you know, there's so many different thoughts swirling through my head. So it's really hard to kind of just pluck one and like throw it out there. But what would be your suggestion I'm sure you guys have touched on it in other podcasts too, but what would be your suggestion to really let go of wanting to lose weight?
Yeah.
And just because I really do kind of feel like my body's on board, but my brain is still kind of shackled to that idea. Mm-hmm. So how do I kind of just let go?
I don't think it is
connected to diet mentality for sure. Mm-hmm. So all of the stuff Jenna was just saying about like getting rid of the diet mentality part of it. And then just really, truly, it's almost like you have to like, it's almost like a visualization of like, I am going to put weight loss on the back burner. Like literally like close your eyes and tell yourself it is on the back burner. I'm going to let this go for now. And you can always pick it back up later if you choose, but it's like, just visualize it. Like, I'm not going to think about this and I'm going to allow myself to start with, you know, just being intuitive and trusting my body. And so it is a little more like abstract, like I would visualize what it would look like to you to put weight loss on the back burner, like whatever image is coming up for you, that's what you're kind of like constantly saying. And then living in like, what would you say is something that you would want to focus on? Like, is it trust? Is it trust that you want to work on? Is it like, and then saying to yourself, like, weight loss is on the back burner. I can literally see it on the back burner. I'm not like it's over here, and I'm living in trust. I'm living in intuition. Okay. You have a certain word that's coming up for you that you would want to, that works for you. Cause maybe trust isn't it. Maybe it's something else. Is it something?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head with trust. Like 100%, like trust.
Yeah.
And so trust is definitely a good one.
So it's like, I trust my body. I trust myself. Mm-hmm. Like just really, really living in trust and thinking about when's the last time you did trust yourself and thinking of that feeling and imagining it in your body. So there's a lot of mindset and stuff. And that's more, you know, of course, like I said, abstract. But that's where transformation comes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then to get a bit more concrete is really truly understanding the reality that we don't have control over our weight. Just because you want it ain't mean you're going to get it. Like focusing on it doesn't mean you get it. And I really think dieting has taught us like, but if you stop thinking about it, you're just going to gain 1,000,000 pounds. It's like, that's not how the body works. Like, you truly have like as much control over your weight long term as you do your height. Like we do not have control over it. So wanting it is one thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, maybe you'll still in 10 years be like, oh yeah, that would be nice to lose 10 pounds. Oh well. And you carry on with your day. Like if that's the biggest issue with it, I don't really care. Like my, I'm sure if you heard a podcast, like I have that funny thing about, I've always wanted long, luscious hair. Mm-hmm. Still to this day, once in a while, oh, that'd be so cute if my hair was long so I could curl it. Oh, well. And I carry on with my day. Like that is not a detriment to my life. That is not affecting the way I'm living. That is not affecting my happiness. It's a fleeting thought once in a blue moon. So if that's where you end up, where it's like, oh yeah, that would be kind of cool if I could lose 10 pounds, but I'm so happy and I feel great. So carrying on with my day.
And that's like, definitely like, that's, I know from experience too, even when I was going to nutrition school and all that, when I did lose a significant amount of weight, it was like, the heavens didn't open up and like every, you know, my whole life was put together. No, that was the first time I really realized, okay, well, the scale says a certain number that I thought I wanted to be, but I'm still not happy. Mm-hmm. So I'm still just real, like I wanted more. It was like that number wasn't good enough because then I'm looking at my body in the mirror and like, but this shouldn't look like this and this shouldn't look like that. So I definitely want to get to that. I'm trying to bring that to the forefront of my mind every time I'm like, oh, I really want to lose X amount of weight. Mm-hmm. Then I'm like, but wait, you weren't happy when you did. So what would change now? Yeah. So
it truly will never be enough.
Right.
Never, ever. So that's good to keep bringing into your mind of like, okay, fine. Let's do it. Let's lose some weight. Let's go on a diet. Let's do what my ego is telling me to do. And then you can say, and I also know over and over again, it was never, ever enough. And it's like you have to constantly remind yourself that's where you're
at the beginning. Yeah.
So there is a lot of mindset shift. And that's why, you know, we could probably talk for the next 6 months about like how we can do this all. I do want to like leave you with specific action steps that you can't, you do feel like, okay, we talked about a bunch and like, okay, we got up the call and like, what do I do? So I do want to say recap and go back to the visualization of literally putting weight loss on the back burner. Like again, whatever that means to you, it could like, I don't know, cutting up weight loss and throwing it away or putting whatever, like, I want you to like really visualize what you think. Then after you keep visualizing that all the time, like it is gone. Mm. It's bringing in what you want to have. So trust. Mm. So create your own mantra of trust. I trust myself. I trust my body. And that's what you're going to say every single day until you start really feeling it and really feel like, ask yourself, what does it feel like to trust myself? And embody the feeling, because you can just say, I trust myself, but if you're not actually feeling what trust feels like, there's no shift. So those two things can go hand in hand. And then I also want to say, as you did bring up, you know, back in the day with my mom, like she just really wanted a friend, and I actually really just wanted a mom, and I needed her to be, you know, a certain way for me. So the great thing now is that you can be the best mother to yourself. So I would say take on, you know, mothering yourself and giving yourself the love that you needed when you were a kid and now. So just like kind of live in, I mean, that's very broad, but I also just wanted to bring up quickly like, oh, now let's go into hours of inner child work. But just to say, like, I wanted to bring up when you did say that, it's like the great news is you can be your own best parent today. So make sure, you know, when you do, things do come up, imagine what you would say to your kids, because you had kids, so you could probably very easily imagine how to mother yourself. So take that on. And then I know, if Jenna, you want to share your action.
Yeah, I think something that would be really interesting, because when you did express about the childhood stuff, which I mean, is always the root for all of us, is that, like you were recognized for doing, you were not recognized for being. You were recognized for achievement. So I have a sneaking suspicion your self-worth comes the same way. Like you value yourself for what you do, not just for being you. So I think like even for this week, if you can really focus every single day, like what do you value yourself just for being naturally? You're just you. Like what about you just being you is awesome and worthwhile. and focusing on that, because I think if your self-worth comes from, look what I've achieved, look what I've done, like I shouldn't care about my weight because look what I've done, it's still achievement. It's right. it's still valuing yourself for what you're doing, not who you're being. And once you can truly be valued internally and from, and I mean, obviously your husband values you for who you are, right? Like that's such a beautiful reflection. So like you can see yourself in his eyes, maybe to start if you can't quite grasp it for yourself. But yeah, to step away from valuing yourself for like what you're achieving. Cause that's, yeah. We're going to have times when we're not achieving shit and we still right. want to value ourselves. Right.
Yeah. So
that can also help from always having to go back and achieve something with your body, mm-hmm. because then you're like, no, I'm like freaking good enough just for being me. So that would be my thing that you could focus on that might make a big difference.
Beautiful. Yeah. That really helps, honestly, both of you, like those tips. And just from what you guys could see through our conversation, definitely helps. And Jenna, that makes a lot of sense with, you know, just accepting me and the qualities about me now, because yeah, weight loss is just another thing to achieve, to be, mm-hmm. You know, rewarded for, or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I agree with what both of you are saying. Yeah. 100%.
You don't have to achieve anything to be worthy enough. On the planet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
right.
pretty positive looking back when you were born, you were born worthy along with every other person on the planet. So if you can like sit in that route, that's also mm-hmm. important. See how it's so like, it's like, there's so much mindset around it. It really mm-hmm. is like, we always share with everybody, we believe it's 90% mental, 10% physical. So if you can get the mindset down and really like root these like feelings inside your body, that's when a shift happens. And then, you know, of course, 10% physical as in like learning how to intuitively eat, you know,
so, yeah.
which that comes.
It's also with. Important. Yeah.
yeah. So important. Yeah. So good. I'm glad that what we shared, you can take on and shift and, you know, we want to make sure that we're giving value to people yeah. that we talk to, and hopefully people listening, we're really able to take on, you know, maybe you don't have the same exact story, but mm-hmm. I'm sure everybody is taking on like,
reflect on where yours yeah. comes from. Yeah.
Make sure you, yes. reflect on what came up for you. And then of course, you know, take on the action steps. If any of them resonated, anybody listening, take on the action steps as well. Because you know, whatever helps, right? So, good. Thank you so much for being on with us and sharing yourself with us. And yes, that's all.
And thank you. Thank both of you very much for all the advice and just the opportunity to chat with you. I feel like I've got two really good friends.
Oh, absolutely. <Yeah. Amazing. laughs> Thank you so much.